Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, welcome to Nobody Panic with me, the croaky voice, Stevie.
And me, Tessa.
Normal voice.
Not feeling normal inside. Normal.
Sure.
Well, listen, at this point in the whole, in the proceedings, take what you can get. Do what you can. Do your best.
Yeah. I've got a face full of cold. And I don't know, but there's nowhere else on my body. I feel absolutely fine. It's just in my nose and my throat.
My grandma used to say, I feel all right in myself, but... it's coming out.
The face is a mess.
Just new, gentle, like, but concerning deterioration, I think.
Oh, yes. That's the name of the...
that's the name of the
game. Of the day.
just look at yourself and being like, gosh.
Oh, no. But yes, apologies if you're listening, being like, oh, I wish that girl would just, like, stop talking. Unfortunately, I am going to be talking.
She's going to be here for the whole thing, unfortunately.
I sound, unfortunately, incredibly weary. But today... it's a good episode. I'm looking forward to it because it's one that I think is very apt for the moment when I haven't really spoken to anybody in a long time. So when we come back out of lockdown and when we are able to speak to people again, I think my chat is going to be very bad.
Yes. This one is how to make conversation. And I think it's going to be necessary for everybody because at this point, we've all gone absolutely mad and nobody knows how to communicate anymore. And we've all just completely lost the plot. And like, I saw my friend Jack the other day in the park. And our other friend, and at a distance, and we were exercising, everybody, but we just shouted information at each other. Like, everyone was just talking. No one was, and just saying things. And then, like, we left, and everyone was like, how was Jack? And I was like, I don't know. I literally don't know. Everyone just, like, said stuff at such a high manic pitch. And... oh, we've lost the skill. But I think first, like, it's going to come back to us. We're adaptable species. We'll get back in the flow of it. So don't panic that it's not there right now. But here are some, you know,
tips.
Some tips.
I also think it's going to be difficult because there has been numerous instances over the last, we're obviously recording from the United Kingdom. But this will be the same, I'm sure, across the world. But there have been instances here where people have responded, let's say, people have responded differently to the situation that we're in. And that can breed a certain level of awkwardness as well on both sides. So if you have, for example, bent the rules of the pandemic and you're talking to somebody who you presume hasn't, but you don't want to be like, have you also bent the rules? Because then they'll be like, no, because I'm, you know, and then suddenly you're in a very awkward situation. So I think there is also an added element of tension.
It's so much up to that. Absolutely. And like, and I think we talked about this before about like trying not to throw shade up or down, but wherever you sit in the line, you think everyone above you is insane and you think everyone below you is insane. You think everyone doing less is crazy and everybody knew more is properly crazy. And so the chances of you hitting somebody, of hitting someone are high, and of hitting somebody who is exactly on your wavelength about what is and is not acceptable, is going to be low.
But there are, you know, there are ways that you can continue to chat without feeling, but of course as well, there are situations where you might be like, well, this has shown me, you know, a new side of somebody that I didn't want to see. And then that, and that's also okay. Like, that's absolutely okay as well. So, but before we get into it, let's do, as we normally do at the start of an episode, we'd like to say which adult thing we've done this week to make ourselves feel a little bit more grown up. What adult thing have you done this week?
Mine is so basic and from 2007.
Right. Yeah, all right, I'll take it.
What do you think it is?
From 2007. So
you'll never guess.
No, I don't think I knew you in 2000. I think we hung out. Exactly. So there's no way. Oh, an Ugg boot.
Yeah.
So you bought an Ugg boot in 2007. That's your adult thing.
Yep. My Ugg boot, you know, it was more like, you know, everyone was like, oh, I'd imagine people today are like, Ugg boots? Who's got an Ugg boot? But in 2007, they were the piece de resistance. I had been thinking I needed a pair of, I don't really like the idea of slippers. I think they are like, I don't like dressing gowns either. And no shade if you do. I just personally don't. No, I know people love them. I just, for some reason, I don't like it. And I can't explain why. And I feel the same way about slippers. But then I have been getting into, it's been deep winter and my ankles are cold. I dug these out from the attic where their sole was completely worn thin. And I was like, oh, forget it. What's the point of these? They're not sheepskin anymore. I bought a sheepskin liner and put them in.
Oh, right.
For very little money. And then it's not, and then now I've got a whole new pair of boots. I feel brilliant. So
it's fine to wear Ugg boots. If they were called slippers, you'd be like, no.
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make it very sure. I won't be asking any further questions. That's absolutely fine.
Anyway, I didn't have to buy a new pair of slippers. I rebuilt and repurposed, and I feel fantastic.
That's very good.
What's yours?
Mine is that. So it's a skin moisturising-based one. Quite dull, but also, is it?
Please.
I have quite dry skin, and so I've used 8-hour cream. It's very thick,
Nivea.
Very, it smells like bacon. No, Elizabeth Arden. Oh. And I've used that for years and years and years.
Orange.
Yes, it's like an orange paste. Goes looks on, like something you harrowing.
Looks like something you put on a cow's udder.
Yes, well, yes. I've not actually got a lot of experience in that, but as somebody
But you
has,
can imagine it.
I can imagine it, yeah. Stays on for 8 hours. And is very moisturising, or so I thought. And then I did a job, and the woman who was doing my makeup was like, "Oh, you've got like a little bit of dry bits on your chin." And I was like, "Oh, I know. I battle it daily." And told her that I used 8-hour cream, and she said, "Oh, no, anything with petroleum jelly sinks in and then makes your skin dry, so you want to use it again."
Uh-oh.
So it actually is so things like Vaseline and 8-hour cream and anything. So if you look on your moisturizer that has petroleum jelly in it, it's basically getting your skin addicted to it and not very good. So she also as well, 8-hour cream is like £30. It's really expensive. And I begrudge paying that amount every time. And she said, what you need to get is you need to get this thing called, might mispronounce it, Weleda. So it's like Weleda skin food. And it's set like £7. And I got it and it's amazing. So I now have a new moisturizer that is delicious. It smells so nice. And so it's not perfumed or anything. So yes, I'm now 2 weeks in and I feel like a new skinned woman.
Spell it again for those of us at the back.
Weleda. Weleda or Weleda.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Great conversation about our adult things.
Great conversation, Stevie. It feels great to communicate with you and touch base and have this scintillating and dazzling conversation with you.
Let's move that into our actual lives.
I think the first thing that I think something that's really people, when you do call your friends or call your family or call anybody, is we're like, how are you? And then automatically, because we're idiots and British, we say like, oh, fine, how are you? Whereas really the answer is like, very bad, actually.
Yes.
And how are you is like way too big a question. And so something my friend Louise has been doing when she calls is to say, how are you today? Which is so helpful and such a useful thing, and something I've been trying to do with people, because how are you is impossible, but how are you today is like, okay, I can answer that, or I can talk about my day, you know? I can say what
yes,
happened today.
Yes, that's very true. It makes it more specific. So you're not just like, you're not trying to condense the last, you know, month in one. I mean, that's kind of good in general, isn't it? Even not just during a pandemic or at the tail end of a pandemic, is that like, even when you just in the future are seeing people, because sometimes, you know, you don't see people for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And even when it's fine and you're all just living your lives, there's so much to condense in that one question about like how he's like, well, you know, 1 week wasn't good, 1 week was good. Then I need, like, I don't think I've ever done anything in my life. I don't know how to, I've got nothing to say.
Yeah.
So you just kind of back out the kind of like, yes, I'm fine. It's just the sound of somebody backing away from the question.
Backing away.
Got them panicked.
Exactly right. And like, I think quite often about my really, really good school friend who I do see, I do speak to regularly, but I rephrase, really good school friend who I speak to once a year, who lives in Israel. And once on one of our conversations, I had said like, oh, I've stopped writing for Sainsbury's. And then she said, what's Sainsbury's? I was like, okay. So it's like coming in at like season 7 of something and being like, okay. So, and then I just was like, it was such a like, oh my God, there's so much. It just felt like a gaping wound between us, you know? And
yes.
So, and I also think about
a gaping wound between us. Just sorry. Just going to pop in there and be like, chasm?
A chasm.
Yeah,
it just like
you both sat either side of a wound. Yeah. Like, what's that? Whose is that?
Okay, it felt like we were touching fingers across like a pond, yes, or something. We were like, yeah, there's a pond here. You were in different countries. It's been we haven't seen each other face to face for a long time, but we're still touching fingers.
I understand.
And then someone says, or she says, like, I'm married, and I'm like, to who? and then the pond just becomes an ocean, you know.
Yes.
But if you can, you know, the more you can do, like, how are you today? The small questions, the more that pond can close. And I think a lot about the friend or maybe simply acquaintance who said to you once, how is your nacho blog going?
And- oh my God. And I was like, oh, in 2010, the one I did for 6 months. Same?
Yeah. Stevie wrote a very, if I may, very humorous blog in which she compared and contrasted nachos from the greater London and wider area. And it was very funny. But when somebody references something that is so old to you, it does make you think like, oh, forget it. What's the point in this? Like, just let's abandon ship on this, you know. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's just people. If I may, it was a worthy question. Your nacho blog was very funny, you know?
Yes, and remains so. It is, that can feel like a big alarm as well. Like, we have grown apart then, but actually it doesn't have to be, because it's something quite nice when somebody says, in that instance, when they asked about that, I leant in and was like, okay, and then just getting like a real quick summary of my entire career of a decade. Then we had something to talk about, because it was like, oh, right, so you did this and then you did this. And then they kind of like summarized theirs. And then you can kind of, you're going to spend a lot of time, obviously, having to catch up with things, but also they can meet you at where you are now rather than have to know literally everything that's happened before now. So it sort of becomes a different kind of friendship, and it can be, so even like taking, for example, that this last year, it can feel, you know, people have had very, very both flat and dull or incredibly eventful or very traumatic or very different lives than they did before. And so you can both come at it being like, well, what has your life been? Like, what has your day-to-day been? What have you... But it doesn't matter if it's been very different, because you can just meet. It's almost like you just meet and pick up where you left off sometimes.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Absolutely. You can very quickly and easily build a bridge over that gaping chasm between
you. I think it's pronounced chasm.
No, you're joking.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
Shit.
I'm so sorry. It just happens to be this metaphor / analogy / whatever it is, it's caused you a lot of trouble today.
it's chasm.
Shit. Yes.
Oh, yes. God.
What I would say about making a conversation is that everybody is in the same boat. So people are feeling that way about you, just like you're feeling that way about them. So there's quite a nice way around it of acknowledging just acknowledging the strangeness of how, oh, like we're all together chatting again and being like, okay, highlights, lowlights. Highlights are this. Lowlights are lost my job, but got another job. Like, do you know what I mean? Like giving people like a little fun rundown so that everyone's up to speed. And also in doing so, it signals that you're aware that there's just too much. There's just so much. And so it kind of pushes the elephant out of the room slightly.
The more that you can point at that elephant and go, I've gone absolutely mad, and I assume you have too. You know,
that's an elephant.
That's an elephant. I hope you can see him. Like, is you know, as soon as you can name him, then he'll just trundle off. That, like, you know, don't go into it being like, this is fine. This is fine. We're catching up like normal people, speaking at a normal volume. I think just be like, yep, we're all crazy. We'll get back into the swing of it. But right now, we've definitely lost the natural flow of how we spoke to each other. And that is okay, as long as we aren't pretending it's not happening. It is happening, and it is going to come back. I think it's something that really holds a lot of people back, you know, not phoning home or not. Like in the beginning, I phoned home every single day, just in a sort of like, how's everybody doing? And then it sort of got less and less. And now I sort of phone home once a week, and sometimes because you've got nothing to say and you can feel like, why would I call somebody, like, you know, or you sit being like, why would I call my friends? I haven't got anything to say to them, whatever. But rather than thinking, I've got nothing to say, think, what can I learn about them? So switch that pressure on in your head that's like, what's the point in me calling? I've got no news, to be like, I'll call and see how they are doing, even though they haven't got any news either. You know, it's not you are not a news broadcaster. You are an investigative journalist.
Or just someone trying to see how their friend is, like, it's so,
yeah, exactly.
Very just easily, it's very, that's in conversation in general, like when we've done episodes about networking or how to make small talk, it's the whole crux of it is, do remember that it's not up to you to be entertaining. Like, you should ask questions. That's the whole thing. Like, that's the kind of engine that drives conversation, is asking questions and feigning until you are actually being interested in someone else's, you know, life. And so that's the same with this, isn't it? Like, if you feel like you don't have anything to offer, then just really like drill down into what your friend's been up to. You know, how have they been? They will have either been, you know, in a flat with their significant other. Is that okay? Like, how's that relationship progressed? Or they're single. Okay, well, what, you know, how has that been? Have they been reaching out to friends? Have they been, what, you know, really get down to how people are? Because even though it is like, we've not been doing anything, like, people have been doing stuff. It's just been very different sort of stuff. It's not been like, I went out. It just doesn't involve going out anymore. But people's jobs have gone. People have got new jobs. People have pivoted, people have retrained, people have really struggled and not been able to do anything and feel like they're very stuck. And then all of those things are, you know, they existed beforehand. It's just they're much more magnified now. So you can, I think, asking questions and really getting to know what your friend's situation is the best way of chatting.
And if you are feeling overwhelmed by the, like, what questions do I ask, or how do I, you can't just lead by being like, is your marriage stable? You know, like, you can't just come in like that. Then just start with, like, you know, the really simple stuff. Like, what are you watching at the moment? Because definitely everyone is, or reading or listening, or everyone is consuming something. Like, what are you watching at the moment? Like, that's a nice, easy thing for someone to be like, oh my God, I am watching XYZ, you know? Yeah. And then you're like, okay, great. Start off talking about that. Now the ball is rolling. And once the ball is rolling, then it can get somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Popular comedian Jerry Seinfeld has rung in with a tip. If in doubt, always go with the numbers-based question.
What's 12 times 7?
How long did it take you to get here?
I'm sorry. That's what he says is a good conversation. How long did it take you to get here?
If in panic, just start with numbers of like, if he's panicking, you ask a numbers-based question, even if they're like, what time are you getting up in the morning? Or like, how long are you working for? Or what is this? Or how many fingers am I holding up? How many sheep is the most you've ever seen? How many?
I
How many breaths have you taken today?
I think I'd be more stressed being like, what's a numbers question?
Yeah. When he said it, I was like, yeah. And then as I like listened more, I was like, right, that's fucking useless. I was like, numbers based? What do you mean? Yes, yes, yes. And then it was just, how long did it take you to get here? Like, that's useless. But a different, but does, I can understand the point that is like an easy in, you know, that's like.
Yes, ask a really easy question that like, just like, I think there's a problem with people who are chatting and they don't want to ask certain questions because those certain questions, it's like at a party when you are talking to someone new, you are very self-conscious of the sort of questions that you're asking because there are certain questions that are deemed to be boring. Like,
such as how long did it take to get here?
Well, so how long did it take to get you here? Yeah. Or like, so whereabouts do you live? Or whatever, you know, you're like, you know that you are having small talk. But the thing is those questions are absolutely fine because you are engaging in small talk and the other person knows who you are.
You're chipping away at the ice with your, I think you've got to thaw that ice because people who say inane stuff about like breaking the ice with being like, if you could do the blah, blah, you know, if you,
what's your biggest regret?
What's your greatest regret? You know, or like, if you could go back in time, like, what would you do? Or like, that's just too, if someone said that to me at a party, you'd be like, all right, dickhead, like get out.
Just slow down. Just slow down.
Like
this.
All those sort of like, if you read like Forbes or any of those, or any of the other number of, of hedge fund magazines that I subscribe to, there's a lot of this emphasis of what they've done is taken basic human interaction and made it into this, like say one of these hilarious anecdotes. I read a piece about a guy who described the concept of bookmarking in conversation, which was to bring something back later on that you could then, you know, if you were going to email them afterwards, you could use that as your subject header, the thing that you discussed. And I was like, okay, reasonable. Then I read more and I discovered that bookmarking is jokes. The man's making just normal, basic jokes. And then, but instead of just saying like, just funny, normal, we were laughing together as two human beings, he was like, use each of these and bookmark them in your mind to like to talk about them later. You're like, what a way to live, you know?
Also, it's making a situation that can provoke understandably anxiety so much harder, so much more complex.
If you're busy thinking like, what's my next bookmark? Just chill out, everybody. Or ask them a boring, inane question that let the ball start rolling. Just and by boring, being like, but ask a question that definitely has an answer.
When you are chatting to someone, you know, asking after their friends and family is a really good thing to do quite early on because that can lead to, well, that can lead to you really finding out about how they are, but also it can be that, you know, everyone's okay and that's great.
But that's
it can,
something to discuss, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes something to discuss. And I was going to say as well about how, what I said earlier at the start of the podcast episode about how different people have approached things differently and that can be very hard for certain people. And I know that there definitely has been, I've had issues and I know people close to me have had certain issues just about clashes of what you're doing and what you're not doing, essentially. Sort of found some kind of quite helpful pieces of advice about how, like, when this all kind of starts up again and we start seeing people face to face, it's much easier. It has been anyway, personally for me, much easier to disagree with somebody over WhatsApp. But I don't mean actually disagree with them, because I mean just be fine with them. But in your head, be like, oh God, right, you've done that. Okay, sort of thing. Mm. Over WhatsApp, it's fine because they can't see you go, oh, right, Jesus. And then you just send like a nice WhatsApp and like, cool. And then you just don't, you know, you don't really engage in it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to make them feel bad equally. So that's been a lot easier. But when it becomes to face-to-face interaction, it's really difficult to hide, and I imagine, your feelings. So if somebody says something that you think is absolutely wild or that they don't know, whatever, it's going to be, we might see much more tension within friendships suddenly because we're not practiced, or I'm certainly not practiced at having disagreements with friends, because I have friends that I don't that are very much on the same page. But then the difficulty with this pandemic is lots of people have found out that they're actually
very
not as
few people are on their page.
Yes,
most people are just stood alone on their page. Yeah, I think it's just about being honest with yourself, finding your truth and vocalizing it as best you can to be like, you know, to not say I think you're a dickhead, but to say, okay, I definitely was being much more cautious. So that's you know, that's where I'm coming from is, you know, this is how, and to make it a lot of like I statements rather than like, I think your behavior is bad, to be like, I took a much more cautious approach. So this is all new to me or whatever.
Yes. Or as well, like before it even starts up again, and by it, I mean socializing, is to really like understand. I think the first bit that you said is like so important, though, to really understand what your feelings are about it, and to go into interactions aiming to understand the other person. Yeah. So there's no, you might have seen like an Instagram post of them in Dubai. you might have known that they've done something, but they haven't said anything, but you sort of do know or whatever. You don't know the full story ever. Mm-hmm. And so it's always worth not going into something being like, oh, well, they did this because of this. You don't know. So if things do come up, it's really important to ask those questions and try to understand rather than being like, and I think there is going to be a lot of that about being like, someone says something and then you go, or they go, well, I actually was much more cautious. You're like, well, that automatically makes people feel defensive. Yeah, like, exactly. Well, I was cautious as well.
I was cautious. Yeah, exactly. That's
on that plane. Like, well,
I was cautious on the plane. Like, yeah. That's the thing. We're in absolutely unprecedented, and I know we've used the word unprecedented 1,000 times. We are in totally unknown waters here, which is how do you socially interact with your friends when you both know that they have secretly done stuff that you don't approve
of? Or you know
that they don't approve of. Like, we are in uncharted waters here, so it's totally understandable everyone's going through this with so much anxiety. And I think what you're saying is completely right, that unless they've gone publicly Lawrence Fox, unless they've gone absolutely
all they say to you, like, I don't care really about other people,
yeah,
and they don't think coronavirus is real, then, like, that's a different thing.
Everything else is just a human being in a pandemic doing their best, and you know, I don't think people, I mean, I don't,
well,
know,
but the problem
going
is,
to Dubai,
is that, well, this
it's
is the
all
thing,
tricky, isn't it?
I think you've really hit upon it, because I think that's what I'm talking about. I think some people, and I think it's, you know, however you respond to it doesn't matter. It's just the fact is that some people haven't done their best, and some people have gone far too far, you know,
yes,
with their best, which is that they've been very anxious and terrified. And there's not, you can't even say, oh, there's not a right and a wrong, or there's not, because it's not true. So I think, but there has to be, you have to take everything on a case by case, individual basis, look at your friendships and go, okay, well, this person, do I love this person? Do I love being around this person? Were their intentions, if of course, you know, like, because the way that people will justify, you know, doing things that aren't, you know, if you were to say 5 years ago, there's a global pandemic, how do you act? Well, obviously, everyone would go, well, I'd help protect people. Of course I would. But then it actually comes down to your individual life in the end. And it's very hard as a human being to think of others when you're faced with actual choices right now in the moment that you go, oh, it'll be fine. So I think it's about, where's your line? And if you do draw your line, you have to be aware that there will be really difficult issues with that. And you have to also be aware that your friendships will, you know, you will have had those friends a lot longer than this pandemic, and there will be certain friends that did bend the law or did go a little bit too over the top for your liking. And how do you welcome them back? You know, like, how do you find that middle ground? And we can't really tell you how to do it, because it's completely different for different people. And it's also completely different in terms of how, you know, you feel. But I do think it's really important to, wherever you feel, whatever you feel and wherever you draw the line, that's okay, because we can't tell you what's over the top and we can't tell you what's too lax, because we both differ and we have our own sort of lines, you know, as everybody does. So it's just be aware that it's going to be tricky. For example, I've got friends that I know specifically have done stuff that I just think is absolutely wild, and we don't, and I know that they feel defensive about it because I don't do those things, but I've made a decision that those friends are good enough friends to me, you know, like, they're good friends to me, I love them, that I can look over those things. I can go, right, well, we just won't talk about that you know, that. but if we do, they know where I stand. So I just sort of, and it has come up, and I've just said, well, you know where I stand, in like a silly voice. And they've gone, yes. And then we just continue. But it's fine, because the elephant has been sort of gone. Elephant's gone, you know?
Yeah. The elephant doesn't need to have a full discussion. But I think the only way out of this is total honesty, being honest with your friends and saying, this is how I feel, this is how you feel, this is where we're going, this is if we think this friendship can survive this, you know, like just being honest about how you feel and getting those feelings out that are like, I don't, you know, this is how I feel and I can't lie about that.
Yes.
And you know, and I think honesty and also is the being, only way forward.
Being, like you say, like when you're asking questions, you know, ask questions. You don't have to sit and talk about how you've approached the pandemic. There's lots of other stuff going on. There is other stuff going on in people's lives on top of it. So there is, like saying, like jobs, there is relationships, there are friendships, there are, you know, someone got a dog, someone wants to get a dog. You know, there's much more to talk about than literally just like, how did you approach this pandemic? Oh, like that's not yes, the only course. Conversation no. that you have to have. So let's focus on those things and not shy away from the uncomfortable questions if they do come up, but be aware that, you know, each friend is different. Is that friend valuable to you beyond how they coped in December? You know, like that's a very specific thing. Like, do you think that friendship deserves a good old go, or are you like, nah, you were selfish anyway, so I'm not interested? And that says more about your friendship rather than the coronavirus. So I think that's, you know, going into understanding how you feel, going into understanding what you want out of the conversation, and just trying to keep everything a bit lighter than you would initially maybe feel, you know, like keep it light, keep it nice. Don't avoid those difficult things though. And let's hopefully we can slowly try to like prod the elephants out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Then they can all hang out together.
They're desperate for some chat with as well.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that has been some help, everybody. At least take away that everybody is feeling the same and everybody is going through it. And Alain de Botton says, always in conversation to focus on the feelings, not the facts. So if somebody says, you know, that they got a new job and they tell you where it is, rather than asking like, oh, where is that? And how long does it take you to get there? Another such shit Jerry Seinfeld advice. Always focus on like, how does that feel? And how does it, you know, what's it like? And, you know, all the emotional feelings that go with something, rather than the fact stuff, which is such an easy one to go for. And
yeah,
and that's it. And then just keep asking the questions about it, and they'll keep telling you, and that's conversation, baby.
And that's conversation. Then they'll ask you some questions and you'll answer those. Oh, it's give and take and a lovely game of tennis. Yes, please do email us or DM us on Twitter if you have an idea for a future episode that you'd like to hear us tackle. The email address is nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com, and the Twitter handle is @nobodypanicpod. Also, say hello to us individually as people. I'm @StevieM. The S is still 5.
Mine is @TessaCoates.
And have a nice week. Reach out to some people. Reach out to some questions.
How are you today? You don't have to have any news. Just call somebody and hear what they're up to. How are you today? Yes. And that's it. Lovely. That's all we're asking. Okay, have a lovely week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast, and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.